Your knights are in another castle. All your base are belong to us. It's dangerous to go alone. Listen to this. The Knights of the Game Table Podcast.
This is the Knights of the Game Table Podcast, episode number 2, The Console Wars. I'm your host, Marcus. On this episode, we discuss all things consoles. Joining me on this panel from the Temple of Geek are Allison, Daniel, Nate, and Paul. How you guys doing?
Hey.
What up?
Yeah, pretty good.
Hey.
Hey. Hooney
hoo. I was about to say, we need a hooney hoo. I don't get the hooney hoo anymore.
I don't know.
That was reserved for the Toddcast, man.
Oh.
So, today I just wanted to talk about consoles in general. This could definitely lead into several different things, like, what was your first console? What's your favorite console? And then, of course, there's the whole thing that's going to bring it together is the wars of what's your favorite console, why and why not. So who would like to start with, let's say, your favorite console and your first console?
My first console was an Atari.
Oh.
Okay, so let's start with Paul.
No, I just remember having an Atari. That was my
first. That was your first one?
Yeah.
What games did you have on it?
Oh, it was just, I don't remember what, I think it was Artillery, and obviously Super Mario with Donkey Kong, and I think that was it. And then I got the NES.
I missed the NES. Actually, the NES was my first one. I hold it dear to my heart.
Do you?
I do. So wait, which one was your favorite one?
Mine?
Yeah.
Of that, because they were pretty much starting to pop out, I would say, yeah, the NES.
Cool. Y'all can feel free to voice your opinions here.
Well, for me, I actually wasn't allowed to have a gaming system for a long time. But eventually, people would come by, and I think one of the first games that I ever played would have been, you guys are probably going to think that it's crazy, but one of the first games I played was Zelda, Ocarina of Time, on Nintendo 64.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I didn't play games for a long time. I was one of those kids that played outside a lot. But Nintendo was the first one I played, and then I would say slowly but surely Xbox has become probably the one I play most and therefore my favorite. But, yeah.
All righty. Well, Allison?
My, I guess you could call first system would be the Game Boy Color, and I loved it.
I remember that.
Yeah, I had a purple one, my sister had a green one, I would play it, and then I'd have to get, like, the little adaptable piece to make it so that I could play it at night, but I couldn't see it anyway, so I would just give up after, like, 6 o'clock.
Because
you can't have a light and color, because the battery drains, and it just, I still loved it, even though my favorite game on it wasn't even in color. It was the original Super Mario World. I loved that game.
Oh, man, I liked that one, too.
You had a Game Boy Color, and your favorite game was not in color.
It was black and white, or green and black, whatever.
I was a hipster kid, you know? I loved that game. It was just so fun. So I couldn't do, like, all the really crazy stuff that you could do now in Mario. Like, it's not just linear exploration. Like, you can go everywhere, which is so radical, because you can't go to the left when you're playing on Super Mario World if you forget a coin. You have to keep on going, and it's like a metaphor for my life. I also had Harry Potter the Chamber of Secrets on it, but I couldn't beat the stupid spiders, because they would scare me.
You can't beat a game because you're afraid of it. This was on the Game Boy, right?
Yes.
Lifelike graphics.
That's pretty awesome.
I had a great imagination. But my first console was the Wii, and I loved playing the Lego Star Wars games on it. I beat them several times over. And also, I really liked Super Mario Galaxy, though eventually because of school, I stopped having time to play them. And currently, right now, I'm shopping for a new console, because I think it's time I try something new.
Xbox.
PS4.
So is it safe to say that your favorite console would just, I guess maybe the console brand would be Nintendo.
I'm a reluctant Nintendo lover because that's kind of what I had, but I feel like the games that I'm very interested in playing are definitely more on the PS and the Xbox systems.
On the mature side.
Yes, for a different demographic.
Yes.
So y'all make me feel really old.
Let's say Daniel.
Daniel's favorite arcade game was pinball.
Well, the very first system that my family ever owned was a Magnavox Odyssey.
Ooh, I don't even know what that is.
So, okay,
it's
so
basically a downgraded VCR.
I need y'all to picture this, okay? Picture a television screen with black and white graphics and a little square dot, okay? Now you take these little plastic sheets and you stick it on your TV screen, and now you got a soccer field. And you have a little controller, and you just move the ball around, and you kept score manually, you know, with pen and paper. And then when you got tired of playing soccer, you ripped it off the screen, and you could put up baseball.
That
is amazing.
That was the worst game system I've ever played in my life. So, I mean, you know, it was like probably, that was like the very first one I remember. I think I was like 4, maybe 5 or whatever. And then we got an Atari. And then I blew the first Atari up because I plugged it into a German current. So when we moved over to Germany, I didn't realize that American stuff didn't work on German current. Yep. So it blew up my system. So then my parents brought home the Atari 7800, and I was like, oh, my God, this thing's amazing. It had beautiful graphics. Beautiful graphics.
They were next gen, I bet.
Those pixels, man, they sure were clear.
That 8-bit graphics was amazing.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's up from 2, right?
So, you know, I'm playing this awesome game system. I'm loving it. It was a great system. We come back to the United States, and then there's this thing out that's called the Nintendo. I'm like, what the hell is this? So my friends are like, Mario, man, it's all about Mario. And I'm like trying to defend this Atari 7800. I'm like, man, it's all about the Atari. So anyway, it took a little bit of time, but probably by the time I was, I don't know, maybe third, fourth, probably about fourth or fifth grade, got a Nintendo finally. And I would probably say, if I had to choose a favorite system, it would probably be either Nintendo or Super Nintendo. So, Super Nintendo just had some amazing games.
You know, the NES? Nintendo type.
I thought you'd be more of a Sega, actually.
Oh, heck no. I'm like hardcore Nintendo.
Yeah, Daniel was very much hardcore Nintendo.
I do have a complete Sega Genesis with the Sega CD and 32X all built together there in my closet.
I knew you'd have a Genesis. I knew that there's somewhere along the line there's going to be a Genesis in your life.
Oh, I mean, I have a Genesis. I have a lot of classic systems. I don't have an Odyssey, though.
He has
I can never find one of the original
classic
systems.
System.
I wish.
Except for the Odyssey, apparently. And the one that you blew up in Germany.
The one that got away.
Yeah, the original Atari. I do have two of those, though, now. But, yeah, to get back on track, Super Nintendo will probably be my favorite system. My first system, Magnavox Odyssey, piece of crap.
It was the first. That's actually considered the first official video game console, so of course it's going to be a little bit more on the rough side. But it was created by an engineer. His I can't find his name at the moment. I'm not going to go through my research paper. Who just thought, you know, I could do something with a TV screen, and he did, and he created an interactive medium that would last.
Now Allison's taking these classes. She's like, oh, my God, I actually met someone that played one of those.
I think I've actually seen a couple of simulations of each different console. I've always wanted to try each one to give it a shot, but I feel like I'd get really, really frustrated. One day, I really want to play the worst game that's ever been created, E.T., just because I want to say I can. I really want to. Oh, no, it's all
he's about to pull it out.
Oh, no.
he's about to pull out the game.
Oh,
there it
God.
Is! I love the Atari!
That's amazing. Them. And then they actually recently, they had like this whole archaeological dig that they dug up all the games.
I know, I love that documentary, but I got this thing in the box with the manual.
Yeah, that was like, they dug it up like in New Mexico, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's
amazing.
Oh man.
So yeah, if you ever want to play it, I have it.
Yeah, if you ever want to play like a classic game, go to Daniel's house.
But let me tell you something. E.T. wasn't really a bad game. It has a bad rap because, you know, right after the game came out, the fall of Atari happened. But you tend to learn, if you watch that documentary, that E.T. was actually a pretty sophisticated game for its time. The kids just didn't know how to frickin' play it without reading the frickin' manual. You know, they tore into the boxes, and they were like,
you have to phone home first in order for it to work correctly?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you also had to eat some Reese's Pieces. And,
I think that's what fueled the game.
Oh, man, this thing has 3 video game variations. 1 player.
That is revolutionary.
Revolutionary, indeed.
I hear now that they have phones that you can watch videos on and do more than just phone calls, too.
I'm not ready for my world to be blown yet.
But what about this new news about how Nintendo is going to start making games for the smartphones? Just talk about how great this is for a second.
Daniel, you must be freaking psyched about that.
I don't know how I feel about that, actually. I've always liked the fact that Nintendo's been proprietary. I like the fact that Nintendo actually, you know, you can buy a Nintendo game system to get Mario or whatnot. You have to have a Nintendo system to play those games. It's going to feel weird playing those type of games on a different system after, I don't know, 25 years of playing it on Nintendo consoles.
Jeez, has it been that long?
It's probably been longer than that. I'm just throwing a number out there.
Well, no, because I got my NES in 90. I know the NES, it debuted like in 87 in the States or something?
Yeah, something like that.
But I got my NES in 90, so when you say that, I just it's hard to fathom that.
Born in 1990.
Damn it, Daniel.
So, yeah, I don't know how I feel about that, though. It's kind of cool, though, that it's happening. I mean, it's about time Nintendo finally stepped up. I mean, I think that's going to be the only way they're going to get out of their little slump that they're in, is to start taking chances and releasing their games, their IPs, on other consoles. So I think this is a good start for the company.
Well, okay. Now, I know Daniel and I had this similar talk about 2-3 years ago. But the problem that I have with Nintendo, and it's funny because Chad said that... With the Ocarina of Time, just to segue a bit, I had a 64. The only game that I had on the 64 was 007 GoldenEye, right?
And that game was dope.
Okay. So I was a Zelda fan, playing, you know, with the original NES. And then, like, when I heard about this new Zelda coming out, I was like, whatever. And then I remember I was in the theater watching Waterboy, and this was about the time when theaters actually started playing commercials. Playing commercials on in front of trailers, and I saw the trailer to The Ocarina of Time, and I was like, holy crap, I need to play this game. Anyway, so the game was, like, really cool. And then shortly after, you know, the 64, you know, went into the, the GameCube and all this stuff, and I was like, where I'm driving at is I think Nintendo, it started to stay with kids because, I don't know, as the company grew, they felt that their demographic was only for kids. And that's kind of like why I jumped off the Nintendo bandwagon, because I was a Nintendo guy for like ever, and then I jumped to Microsoft, and the rest is history for me. I've never jumped back to Nintendo. I don't have an issue with Nintendo. It's just... Personally, I just don't find the need to play anything on Nintendo's systems at all.
Well, and that's why you suck, Paul. So
I do.
Oh, shots fired. Here we go. Chuck the trick at the Super Smash Brawl and let's go.
Dude, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I don't like Nintendo, okay?
Nintendo.
Nintendo.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree that Nintendo had some pretty iconic games in its time, but I definitely feel like now it's not something that I'm as interested in nearly as much as I was then when those games were a big thing.
My 2 bits on Nintendo would be the fact that, it seems like a lot of their games are more targeted toward kids, which is generally a safe market. Kids are always going to be playing games. So, but on the other end of that spectrum is there's a lot of people who grew up playing Nintendo, and they have, you know, a very fond nostalgia for it.
That's true.
So, I mean, I would still take any chance I get to play Nintendo. I'm not, you know, against playing one at all. It's just...
Agreed.
Yeah, it just doesn't hold that heavy.
I just don't prefer it. I don't mind playing it. I just don't prefer it.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Out of this current generation of game systems, I mean, the very first system I bought was a Nintendo Wii U. And then I got an Xbox One, you know, because I needed that high power gaming system, yeah. the one that has all the harder core games.
X-Bone.
But you needed to get something else to supplement what you already have, and I feel like Nintendo in itself is its own sort of thing. It's not; it can't be compared to a PS4 and Xbox One. There's a reason why it's always, should I get a PS4 and Xbox One? It's because Nintendo is a niche. Even in their marketing, like, they're all based on nostalgia because they already established that. They have the consumers who now have jobs, who have the money, who are now raising their kids on these products to go back and get these consoles. And I feel like sometimes, I mean, I played Nintendo as a kid. I didn't have any of the other systems. I didn't have any of the other exposure except for some of my friends' PlayStation 2s, which was a great console. So it was kind of, looking at Nintendo now is very different for me because, yes, I still have a nostalgic feeling when I see Mario, but...
Yeah, they're legacy games.
You grow up eventually and you need something else. But at the same time, you're always going to still have that feeling. You know, if I find a Mario app, I probably will get it. If there's a Zelda app, I'm totally getting it. But there's sometimes you just
got
to change.
So, Daniel, you got the system, not that you needed, but the one that you deserve.
You look so sad. You look so sad.
Well, I mean...
All you dang Nintendo haters.
Okay, no.
I love Nintendo, but there's a need to have something else.
AKA, grow up, Daniel.
I am not at all attacking you. I'm just saying that...
I am.
I hate you, live underscore banjo banjo stuff.
Underscore shift.
Hey, this is the Microsoft product, Slade.
So I guess a little bit of my own background so that we can stop bashing Nintendo and Daniel can weep in a corner.
I like Nintendo. I'm not bashing Nintendo. They have a system of honor and respect for their products. Like, you can still send in your old Nintendo and they will fix your NES. I think that's beautiful. And that sort of, and that, you know.
They refuse to fix my Virtual Boy, though.
Oh. Sorry.
They claim that they don't have the parts for it.
Wow. They can't have
parts for it.
But you know when they release a game, you're going to get a good product every single time because of its simplicity. But you can't get, you know, you will never see, like, an Assassin's Creed sort of, like, game coming out of Nintendo.
Unless the assassin was Mario, right?
That would
be awesome.
That would not be awesome.
I would totally play that.
There's a character named Mario actually in Assassin's Creed. They made even the joke.
Wow.
Uncle Mario is actually in Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, he is in the second one.
Yeah. Oh, I got it right.
And he says that too. He says that exactly. It's a me.
Well, luckily we don't have some companies like EA making games for Nintendo. So. I mean, there are some plus sides to it.
Are they one-up plus sides?
Well, I'm just saying, at least you don't have to pay for the rest of the game when you paid initially $60 for it.
About that.
Wait, there's more.
Yeah. But anyway, let's see. As I mentioned earlier, my first hit the system was an NES. And I played it a lot.
I thought I had it on mute. I'm sorry.
I'm waiting for, like, did you blow it up in Germany too?
No, I was looking at Daniel's eye. I played that a lot and then moved up into a Nintendo 64, played that a lot too. And then, like, we didn't get very many systems, so... It was that, and then our next console was an Xbox One, like, or the first Xbox, first
Xbox
generation.
Original.
Yeah, and like, I liked that for a while because, you know, it was just familiar to me, especially with Halo 1. I missed the Sidewinder map. and then we moved into 360, and then that was great and everything. And it was during that phase with the 360 and the PS3 is when I decided, like, I had a job at the time. I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and buy a PS3 also so I can say I got both of them. And I actually went and bought a Wii that was before the Wii U was out. And I was like, oh, I got all three of them. and I actually ended up liking my PlayStation 3 way more than I liked my 360.
And it's the reason why you got the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, actually, that is immediately resulted in me to getting a PlayStation 4 instead of an Xbox One. So.
Interesting.
But, like, so the reasons why I liked the PlayStation, which is my favorite console, technically not my favorite console.
The PS4, correct?
The PlayStation 3, 4, whatever.
In general? Okay.
Yeah.
Sony.
Technically, my favorite console would be the PC, because I'm just saying, I like my computer a lot.
I think you can count that. It's part of the console wars.
It totally is. It totally is. And,
I would definitely consider it a huge factor. But usually when people get, like, you know, Steam, they also have a console in addition. So it's definitely its own console.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to think that Alienware is trying to make a console, you know, with the whole Alienware console system that they want you to put in the living room, the Steam box.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're trying to make it relevant, kind of like make it
kind of a
console base.
Steam is really heading that. Because there's a lot of companies who are making their own air quote Steam box, and Alienware is one of them that it comes in pre-installed with the Steam OS. There's several others that also have one, but they're just not as big a name as Alienware. But it's definitely enlightening to see that, you know, PC gaming could pick up even more. Because at the end of the day, everybody's always like, oh, PC gaming is dying. And yet, we're still here 10 years later.
I was actually more of a PC gamer when I was younger than actually playing on, excluding my Game Boy Color. I did do I got a lot of CD-ROM games when I was younger, and that's what I would play. Everything from, you know, all the Disney games to, yes, the Harry Potter games.
Oregon Trail.
Yeah, Oregon Trail. Actually,
girl, you haven't played computer games until you played them on a little floppy diskette.
I was just going to bring that up, Slade. I was just going to bring that up.
Yeah. I remember floppy disk. I may be one of the younger people on this crew, but I still play with all the classic stuff. Floppy disks were fun. I know how to work a VCR.
You know how to work a Betamax?
Actually,
yeah, I never tested on that one.
It's no different from a VCR.
Yeah, no, I was about to say, isn't that a brand of a VCR?
No. It pops.
Oh, it was a different.
It pops up instead of pushing it in. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a couple years ago, we had the DVD wars where we had HD DVD and Blu-ray, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, back in the day when VHS came out, it was VHS versus Betamax, and VHS won it over. Betamax actually had better quality video.
Wow.
But sorry for that little.
And then there was like 5 years of aligning tracks so that.
Auto track.
Yeah.
Auto track.
We need like a little like montage right now of just like classic 80s music or sound effects.
Now you haven't lived until you watched a movie on Laserdisc.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So apparently we need to go to Daniel's house and watch all the Star Wars movies on Laserdisc.
Marcus was like, what is this? I'm like, that is a Laserdisc.
It's like the size of a freaking vinyl record.
No, I was gonna bring that up too, is that like in the midst of playing the Atari, I was also playing games on my Commodore 64.
Commodore. Daniel, don't you have one of those?
Pretty intense.
I have a Commodore 128D, yep.
Nice.
Yeah, but is it a...
Listen, he knows. I know I have a Commodore. Like,
Commodore.
He could be a walking advertisement.
Now I recently joined the Sony Venue, and I bought my first PlayStation product. Oh, I shouldn't say that. I bought once again a PlayStation, because I did have the original PlayStation. One thing about me, and when, especially when it comes to electronics, is I never, and I recently did it. I broke my one rule. I broke it. I never get a product, especially an electronic product, on D-Day. I always wait for the consumers to go out and buy them and do the real reviews, fix all the real bugs.
Absolutely.
And then get that. So the only time that I broke it, I actually bought the Microsoft Band when it came out. But anyway, I never get a console right off the bat. Like, I'm not saying, you know, I was old enough to buy it, but like the NES, we didn't get that until 90. The Super Nintendo, we didn't get that till 94. The 64, we didn't get that till 97. And then the PlayStation, we didn't get that also till 97. Anyway, so Microsoft, you know, I like Xbox. I just kind of got sick and tired with Microsoft just being Nazis with their stuff. So, yes, now it came down to jumping to the next generation for consoles, and it was down to, do I get an Xbox One or do I get a PlayStation 4? And just based on more reviews from the consumers, I finally got a PlayStation 4, and I have to say I am very, very happy with that purchase. I like the home screen menu. I just like Sony's atmosphere. I don't know how else to put it, but yeah,
It's called Cyberscape. You know, I do like a landscape. It's called the Cyberscape.
Well, yeah, I just like how it is. I mean, I don't know. Maybe because I was just so, I didn't want to be a Microsoft zombie anymore.
So you do like your PlayStation 4 more? I'm assuming you got a PS4.
Oh yeah, yeah. I bought one. I bought one in October.
Cool. So I mean, but as far as the reason why you like it more, it's mostly just like it was your time to move on or something.
Yeah, it is. It is. And the problem that I have, you know, we were just talking about, being, proprieties with certain companies. The problem that I'm going to be dealing with is that later on this year, I'm going to be forced to buy an Xbox One because I'm a big Halo guy. So I have to get one for that reason.
There it is.
That
franchise.
What? So, and later this year, I'm going to be forced to buy a PS4 because of Street Fighter.
So I think this definitely kicks off the console wars section of this podcast.
Let's do this.
I was about to say, I need to buy a freaking Xbox One in order to play Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yes. It's okay, man.
Thank you. Somebody said it. I'm so mad about that.
I am livid. Okay. I just gotta get this out.
Make all the sound effects you need.
Alright, okay. They played the trailer at E3 this past year, right? No? Maybe? Yes? I think so?
Yes.
Anyway,
yes, they did.
When I first saw the trailer, I was super psyched. I was like, yes, we're gonna get the freaking, what's turning out to be a prequel to Tomb Raider. And I was super psyched about it, but and then at the very end of that trailer, they said only for Xbox One. And my life, as I knew it, was over.
Oh, Xbox. Just taking all the exclusives.
I was shocked by that. They don't have all the exclusives, but they're working on it. Because of their E3 incident in 2013, that really hurt them when they announced the Xbox One. And I think that's kind of where their problem started, and they're rebuilding since then. And that's kind of why they took Tomb Raider.
Well, but
and a lot of other
things. A lot of exclusives, too. I mean, between. Mm-hmm. They've always had more than Sony, I feel like, or PlayStation. Especially when, mm-hmm. I mean, when you compare, like, the big titles, not just, you know, all the little ones. But I feel like Xbox has always, I guess, had an edge there because they've always had a much larger lineup.
What are you talking about, man? You never wanted to play Katamari? and I'm not bashing
it
at all.
Too busy.
Dude, you never wanted to play Fusion Frenzy?
Well, what kills me now about the console wars was the console wars back in the day when I was growing up was this system was probably more powerful than this system, or this game looked better on this game system.
Well,
they didn't really have console exclusives.
Do you remember those commercials, Slade?
They would show like it would show like yeah, explosions. It would be like all WWE type. You're like, welcome to blah 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 blah. You want to get something for your game system? Get this right now.
Or the Sega Scream.
So you know you had like Mortal Kombat. When Mortal Kombat came out, the graphics looked amazing on the Super Nintendo, but it lacked blood. Versus the Genesis, that was like freaking horrible looking, but it had blood, and everybody was like, "Oh my god, mind blown!" Unless you had a Game Genie on the Super Nintendo, then you could turn the sweat into blood. It was amazing, just a little color, and everybody was like, "Oh my god, I'm all over this."
they bleed,
you know. And then you grow up a little bit. I think the console exclusive started in the era of PlayStation when Sony came out, because Sony reached in and grabbed the Final Fantasy series from Nintendo, so they took it. And then Mega Man series, Capcom started making games exclusive for PlayStation, and then it just started going that route. And I think that screws the gamers.
But that's because the point. It's supposed to screw the gamers into spending more money on their consoles and also on their games. It's a brilliant marketing scheme.
Thank you. Look, she just said exactly what I said a month ago, Daniel.
No, listen, Paul. Listen. In order for a game company to make money, they don't make money off their game system. They make money off the software. So if the software companies are making these games exclusive to one particular console, they are cutting off 50% of their revenue by leaving off a completely different console. So you would have twice as many buyers of Tomb Raider if they released it on Xbox One as well as PlayStation 4.
But
who does that money go to? It goes partially to the company who develops the game.
Well, they struck a deal.
Partially to each one. Yes, they strike a deal. But
it's a new era
in marketing for the console and for the game.
Thank you. See, that's what I was trying to tell him months ago. I said it's a marketing ploy.
I always knew it was a marketing ploy.
Yeah, to basically pull those people that are just so hardcore Nintendo, I'm going to be Nintendo, 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 and then hold on a second, we're going to make this game specifically for this console now. Are you going to jump? Because I'm one of those, like I said, with Halo. Now, I jumped the bandwagon from Microsoft, but I want to play Halo 5, and in order for me to play Halo 5, I'm going to have to buy an Xbox in order to play it.
You know, some of us can afford those other systems. Exactly. There's going to be people that can't afford the other systems that are going to be missing out on the opportunity to play these games because these companies are like, hey, let's make a deal and let's help this video game system out or whatnot. I mean, I don't agree with that marketing scheme.
I don't either, but that's
the
point.
Stupid,
but it's how it works. You are spending money. I mean, the problem I'm currently facing, and I'm just going to use a random game as an example. A game I have been dying to play that I am completely obsessed with, the entire franchise, is BioShock Infinite. But I can't play it on the Xbox One. I can only play it through the PlayStation Now store that is available for people to play on the PlayStation 4. At the same time, the PlayStation 4 does have a lot of games that do appeal to me, but so does the Xbox One. And then there's the exclusive things, and then there's different features on both consoles that are sort of trade-offs. I have a better ability to do multiplayer online gaming on the Xbox One, like with Minecraft, but I can't really do it as well on the PlayStation 4. So,
he's getting mad.
Out.
Gotta leave the room.
Lynn has left the building. It made him mad. Where is that going with this? Oh, right. So as I do more research for each console, PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, because I can't imagine myself getting a Wii U after my Wii.
Shame on you.
I can't. I'm sorry, I can't.
If you're going to invest in one console, you have to really like Nintendo in order to get that one.
Yeah,
that's the one that I choose to play when somebody like Daniel has it, and I just happen to come over, and it's there, and in that case, I play it, but I don't actually go out of my way to buy it, because if I do, I know that I'm already dooming myself to a very small selection of games that actually don't appeal to me as much as, you know.
Look, Nathan, if you just want to miss out on the new Zelda game that's coming out, that's your own problem. I can't help you.
Yeah. Okay,
Zelda's
one that I would like to have,
watch,
but
get the feel for it.
That's just one game.
I mean, something to acknowledge, though, is that there are some games that are specifically, you know, an exclusive for a certain console, and that's the way it's always been. And of course, with every Nintendo franchise possible, that's the way it's always been. And then of course you got, we got used to familiarity like with Street Fighter, where it was always available to everybody and everything, and they cut the cord on us. I don't understand. And that's the part where it's actually frustrating to me, is because you keep this long history of going ahead to appealing to everybody who's capable of getting it, and then you go ahead and, you know, shove it to the side of only PlayStation. And and it's the same thing with the Tomb Raider game, because I thoroughly enjoyed playing that on my PS. Actually, I got it on. Yeah, I was trying to think. It was available on the PS3. I actually bought it on PC, and then it got re-released on the PS4, and I bought it again.
Which they released the first game on the PS4, which, you know, with this whole marketing ploy, you know, eventually the game will be released in some sort of definitive edition on the PlayStation 4.
No, that's what I'm saying. The definitive edition came out on the PS4.
No, I'm talking about for the new one, the one that's going to be Xbox exclusive.
Oh, okay.
You know, eventually they're going to release some sort of definitive edition.
I don't know how definitive editions will work out anymore, only because we're not making steps up to a new generation anymore.
It also depends on the lifespan of the console itself. I mean, they're trying to right now, both for PS3 and for the Xbox 360, slowing down on making games because they're trying to kill that life cycle. Life cycle for a game typically ranges between 6 to 8 years. They can go up to 10. The Xbox 360 was made for 10 years. So when it comes to games coming out on different consoles, it really depends on, is PS4 really going to release their next game, console, in the 5-year span that a lot of people are predicting instead of the 8?
That's interesting. I mean, crap. I had something.
Well, let me help you.
Come back to you.
It's coming back.
The issue that I mean, not the issue, but the thing that's come up is because, and then I was telling Slade about this a couple of years ago, is like, man, don't you remember, like, there was, like, a time where, and again, just based on technology, but there was a time where, like, games would come out and it would be, you know, every year a game would come out. And now it's like there's so many games coming out so much. I mean, like, who has time for that anymore? I mean, I certainly can. I mean, like, I bought Destiny. When I bought the PlayStation 4, I bought Destiny. And then Alien Isolation was coming out. I was like, oh, man, I think I need to get that. And then now Mortal Kombat's coming out. And now I've been playing The Last of Us too, and I just don't have time to play every single one of them because I want to beat them, and then I want to go back and explore every little detail that's in the game. But I don't have time to do that when there's something else coming out.
I've
See, that's
never
why when
been
I get a game, really?
Yeah, I've never been the kind.
I want to dissect
like,
it. To
like
I want to dissect it.
Yeah, for me, I do all the exploration,
Thank
like
you.
Every little niche as I play. But the problem with that is it's not that I don't beat a game, it's just, okay, I have difficulties beating games because I spend so much time exploring and doing things. That was my problem with Epic Mickey, that and the lighting issue and the camera angles. But I would just want to see every,
Epic
I
Mickey,
want,
it's such an epic game.
It's such a good game, I love that game.
Nintendo Wii.
That's just one game. Right, Nathan? That's just one game. Or actually, that's two games. But continue, Allison. Continue.
Thank you. I lost my thought too, but
Epic
like
Mickey.
Long.
Epic Mickey, you were going around in circles.
Yeah, and it would just there would come a point that either the boss battle would be too frustrating, or I would just get very bored. There were only a select few games that I can remember that exploration would actually be like enhancing the game, and I'd feel the need to continue because it was so short. And that was my thing with the Lego games. They would be short enough that I'd be able to, you know, beat it relatively quickly in a gaming sense, but at the same time I could always go back and do more exploration, or I can continue exploring in the game. Eventually I beat it several times over with my sister. And another key thing for me is multiplayer. I do have a twin, so it's kind of like I want to be able to play with her, and finding games on both consoles that have that ability in story mode and not just like in a free world game mode is very, very difficult.
I think and multiplayer in general has kind of taken a step back. It seems like the only way to play a game multiplayer is deathmatch in an online base.
Yes,
yeah, it makes me sad.
Yes,
so I miss the days when you multiplayer meant sitting next to somebody on a couch with two controllers and watching the same game on TV.
What happened to co-op is what I'm saying.
That's what I'm looking for is more co-op. I like co-op.
Yeah. Sorry, Nathan, I didn't mean to cut you off. What were you saying?
I was just, you definitely hit home on that one. I mean, that's something that has definitely downgraded. Like, they've just been, like, tearing out features, I guess, because they think that they're going to make more money that way. You know, more people are going to be forced to buy more systems so that they can play with their friends. But it's really frustrating to the gaming community because that's more fun to be able to sit next to someone rather than just hear their voice through the TV, you know, it just, I don't know. I've always been really frustrated about that.
Now check this out. Do you guys remember, maybe not, but I remember again, when I first got my PlayStation 1, that I would go over to my buddy's house and actually link up with his PlayStation. And the only game there was a very selected few games that you could do that with. But I remember the game that we would do that with was the Doom series, Final Doom and Doom 2, and that was cool. I mean, the way we did it, we had those gaming chairs and we put it back to back, and then one TV there, one TV there, and that was basically our co-op, and we would do that like every weekend, and that was cool.
Well, I mean, the Xbox had the similar thing with Halo.
Oh yeah,
that's why. Do the LAN party. The LAN party, that was awesome. Yes.
And that's actually the one game that hasn't somehow degraded its multiplayer experience to an extent. They have, but you're still able to link Xboxes and do 16 players, or you can do Xbox guests now, which don't require a membership or an account. You can just add up to 3 more people onto your system and play online with other people.
Yeah,
so you have to choose your 3 wisely. But then you can also play. I know. You can.
Wisely.
Yes, you chose poorly. Oh, God, I love that movie. but the thing about it is, I remember it was very poorly received at E3. People were, like, up in arms. That and, what was it, the DRM right issue?
Oh, yeah.
People
that was in the.
Out.
That was what? The 2013 E3.
That was the 2013 E3. And then they reversed it a week later.
Yes.
But since then, they've been trying to rebuild everything. They actually. Didn't they fire their entire exec board?
It was
something.
It was something weird because the whole thing that generated. Well, not the whole thing, but the main thing I want to say that drove that train was the whole. The commercial from PlayStation was like, let us show you how sharing on the PlayStation works, and then the guy hands over his game to the other guy, and they're
that was amazing. That was the best commercial ever.
One of the most advertisements of all gaming time,
really,
and yes.
Yes, that was genuine. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I remember that commercial.
Microsoft,
and it was the greatest thing ever.
because later on that year, because at that E3, you know, at that E3, they unveiled the new Xbox, the Xbox One or whatever, and you know it's going to be out the holiday season. And then they were making all these crazy changes to the whole, you know, Xbox community and everything. And everybody was like, "What are these guys smoking? Seriously?"
Well, they just wanted to find any way possible to start taking more of your money.
Again, you're going to find out who your real. How do you say, like, who are the diehard fans that are going to do it? Like, you know, when Xbox Live first got introduced in, I think it was 2004.
Who let the dogs in?
And
hang on. We need to edit this part out. Sorry.
All right. Yeah. Because he pulled right. Oh, he is right there. And he's still. Quiet.
Give him a hug. Love him. He wants to be loved.
I think
he has something to say about Nintendo.
He's
What's
got
that
so much
boy?
Love to
Nintendo
be.
Nintendogs? Did I hear that Nintendo right? Why isn't your dog named Nintendo?
Are you talking to me?
Are you talking to me? You must be talking to me. Okay. So this will be recorded. I can say what I want. You can't
I'm
hold
have
me
a
down.
Fun time.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we're going to have so much fun. You really are.
Where?
I just really don't know what console to get, because really the PS4 and the Xbox One, they may say they're next-gen, but there's nothing next-gen about them. They're only like a tiny step up from the Xbox 360. and the PS3. So I actually, there was one point I was considering just getting a PS3. Okay. I really thought about
Let me help you because I, you know, if you haven't been paying attention, but yes, I've been on the Microsoft thing for a while, and I just wanted something new. You know, I just got pretty much that whole E3 thing. Again, I didn't buy the next gen consoles last year when they did, or 2013 when they debuted. I bought mine this year.
I almost off my bed. Oh my God.
Right.
So I jumped to the PS4 and I couldn't be happier. You know, I know there's a couple people that I know that have the Xbox One. And yes, it's great. It's a newer version of the Xbox, but it's, to me, it's the same damn thing.
I'm currently waiting on the next E3 because they said that they have some really insane announcements that they've been holding back that are going to change the way that you're going to view their console.
Are they going to change the world?
I mean, have a feeling what they're going to do is, you know how there's the PlayStation Now network that like you can play, you know, their older games on the PlayStation? I think Xbox is going to, well, at least I'm hoping that they're going to be releasing something for the Xbox 360. And that would be a huge, like, I think that would be great for them to do. There's no reason why they shouldn't. It's There's true. So many games on the Xbox 360 that I would love to play on the Xbox One. I also like the achievements more on the Xbox One and also the interface. I like the colors. I'm so shallow. I like the color scheme better. I'm not going to lie. I think green and black, the entire thing looks a little bit more like, sophisticated than the PS4.
I feel a little bit more sense of tranquility with the PS4, at least when it boots up and it has that, like, mellow... Yeah, I'm serious. Like, I feel, like, more at home. Like, it's
inviting my destiny. Like,
no, dude. Like, it's inviting me to play. Like, Xbox, at least on the 360, when the dashboard came up, it was just like, okay, here's what's out right now.
Choose everything.
Yeah, choose something.
Go figure it out.
Yeah, now PlayStation is like, you know, like, hello, what way to do this for you?
Wow, now I'm terrified. NSA is, I was like, hello, Dave.
Oh, from ID4. Good morning, Dave.
Well, so I think just going off of what you two have been talking about, I think one good thing to bear in mind with both systems is that they've hardly even scratched the surface of the potential that they've, I guess, built into these machines. I mean, really, these consoles are probably, you know, capable of doing some pretty awesome things. They just haven't, you know, because of their... You know, that scheme of, well, we want to take slow steps so that we milk as much money as we possibly can. We're going to make games that are a little bit better than the last generation. And then slowly over the next, I don't know, 7 to 10 years, you know, we're going to start seeing what is actually next gen, hopefully soon, because so far we haven't seen anything that is actually next gen. But really, it's not the consoles holding us back. It's the games that they've been making.
Slow clap it. That's perfect. Thank you for saying that.
Okay,
how I feel. And that's what I've learned about for this past. I've been studying each console and their entire marketing series for months now, and that is exactly what I have learned. They are totally holding back almost 2 years down the line for like all this revolution stuff. They wanted to see what their original consumers were before. They should have done more test driving for it, at least, to figure out what their consumers want. And now they finally understand what each, like the PS4 people and the Xbox One people like, and they're finally going to hopefully be giving us that in very shortly. I mean, they've been doing, I think the PlayStation Now Network last weekend, you could play multiplayer for free. And I think maybe that was, or it's this upcoming weekend. They're doing more Xbox Gold free stuff. And they're finally understanding people want to do more downloadable content. They want to do more interactions with friends. They want games that have a little bit better graphics than what they're already offering. Oh, you're disagreeing with me, Slade? Okay, let's hear it.
Oh, not me. I'm just saying not me.
Oh, because you're a Nintendo. Nintendork. Yeah. Can we just call you that for now, Nintendork?
By all means, yeah.
Well, my 2 cents on, on the whole... My 2 cents on the whole graphic thing. One, I play PC, so they must see 12 times out of 10 it's going to look better anyway. And, of course, that comes at a price, but whatever. I don't want to talk about it. But at the same time, I think that there's two things that I need to get it off my chest about. That is
tell
one
us,
of them.
Tell us what it is.
Is the first thing is that I really hate it when game companies start creating a game based off of a console, because it heavily limits the graphical potential of the game. Happens left and right with a billion games. Look at Crysis 2 and 3. but so that's the first thing. But then the second thing is you can really tell when games are starting to use the full potential of a console by the loading screen. Because one of the best things about moving up to a PS4 from a PS3, I've played a couple of games, The Last of Us, and I didn't play Tomb Raider. So I've got The Last of Us that I played on both. And it had freaking long loading screens on the PS3.
The Last of
Us?
Well
shortened on the PS4. Yes, The Last of Us.
Good game.
Wait, you're not talking remastered, are you?
Yes, I am.
You're talking remastered. Okay, because there's a difference.
Well, sort of. I mean, on the PS3, it was, like most of the PS3 games, it was shortened to 720p. And now, I mean, what also influenced my decision to buy a PS4 was the fact that it actually has more power and in most cases does play games in a higher resolution than the Xbox One.
And well, but lately Xbox One has been, you know, I think what Xbox was at first was usually at about 30 frames per second, I think was the maximum for most of their, releasing games and most of the games now too. And then also, they weren't actually at a full 1080p. It was a lower HD. I'm not sure what it was, while PlayStation from the bat was, you know, 60 frames per second, 1080p. But lately, Xbox One has been releasing more 1080p content with a higher frame rate.
Okay, well,
so they're definitely getting better.
Now, that
that's
brings up
thing.
Another...
What about the new 4K stuff?
I was just going to say that. Thank you, Allison. I'm so glad we're on the same
The force is strong with us.
Something to think about, though, when it comes down to increasing the resolution of any game is the fact that they will be taking that straw from somewhere else, which is most likely the graphical beauty of the game. Just something to think about.
That is true.
Yeah, because what I was just going to bring up was like, okay, so if they're releasing games like in full 1080p, are we basically, I know it seems like a progression, but is it really taking a step back? Because now you're actually making games in full HD as of right now, but now they're coming out with 4Ks, which are basically doubling up the resolution. So it's kind of like you're back to square one. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
so it's kind of like playing a game.
And then there's virtual reality too now coming into play. Will the HoloLens be playable on the Xbox One, or are they going to just put it all the way in the Xbox Two, if that's what they're going to call it? I mean, we seem to be going with a circle theme with an
Xbox. Sure, they're just
going to
name it Xbox XP or something.
I don't know. I mean, you learned the hard way that name.
They're going to call it Xbox One R.
One R.
Xbox DOS.
Xbox One NT.
You get it, Marcus. Well, you get it.
Well, going back to what you're saying about the 1080p, I definitely agree with you. Like it's definitely hard to see, I guess, where they're actually at, I guess, as far as where the resources are actually coming from. Like Marcus was saying, maybe they're pulling it from somewhere else, so it's going to make something else bad. Or maybe they're just really behind everybody else. They may very well be. My hope is that they still have yet to reveal the full potential of any of these next-gen consoles, and so therefore maybe they have a massive resource pool and they just are choosing not to pull from it completely yet. I don't know. But that's my hope.
Well, all we could do is wait for E3 again.
June,
I think,
it's coming faster than you think.
I think 4K is really going to be a huge deal in E3.
Are they advertising 4K,
4K
content?
4K and virtual reality.
You know,
they have been talking a lot about 4K. Yeah, they've been talking a lot about 4K, and of course, virtual reality has been on the scene for quite a while. So,
virtual reality, since the introduction of Google Glass and the idea of an enhanced experience to our everyday life, has always been a big thing. That's why Google is funding Magic Leap. The HoloLens is a little bit more of an inside setting that they advertise it can work with Minecraft, which would be really, really fun. And then, of course, you know, there's like the Oculus Rift and all of those that are already out that aren't quite mainstream yet. There hasn't been that pull factor for a lot of people to get that. I mean,
I think it's sort of like a beta.
I have a friend who got sick from the Oculus Rift.
Did you say Minecraft wasn't like mainstream yet?
No. The virtual reality goggles. I'm sorry. I should have been more sure. Minecraft is very mainstream.
I was like, holy crap, Minecraft is everywhere.
It is. I saw like these like five kids in
which
a row in Target wearing Minecraft t-shirts. I'm like, really? It's that big? And then I saw like they had like the little pickaxe and you press a button and it becomes so much from Minecraft. So much Minecraft everywhere. Really? Like they might as well make Minecraft the movie. It's coming to a theater near you and I'm terrified. Look at the new Sony film, Pixels, which is basically taking your beloved arcade games that are like your friends and your favorite arcade characters, and they're making them into terrifying monsters that are going to attack and get rid of us all. Starring, what is it, Adam Sandler?
Yep.
Why can't we all just like have the arcade games on our side and the video games are fighting with us? No, they have to attack us because aliens misinterpreted a message that we sent into space. Like
that reminds me of an episode on Futurama where it was like Pac-Man was the I forgot. It was like they were from Planet Nintendian 64 or something like that. And then Pac-Man was leading the charge and he was like Waka, Waka, Waka.
Braveheart.
Yeah, like they were they like every time they ran they would do the Mario like boop 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 boop.
Yes.
That was a great episode.
I love Futurama.
Well, does anybody have any final words they want to say before we wrap up?
Yes, I have one thing. I just want to mention one console that wasn't mentioned this whole time that deserves to be honored, and it was the Dreamcast. And Sonic Adventure 1 and 2 and Power Stone.
Yeah, Dreamcast was amazing. Actually, I forgot to list that as one of the consoles that I did own.
It was incredible.
It was amazing.
Dreamcast was ahead of its time. As well.
Nate?
Yeah.
I just got a Guru Mark of the Wolves and Last Blade 2 on the Dreamcast. Just FYI.
Wait, you just got it now? Wow, you are it. You are a dork. I love it.
But
you are so cool.
But Daniel, do you dip your knife in peanut butter and jelly at the same time? If you don't, you're not as dorky as we think you are. Because only a true gamer would do that because he didn't have time to spread out the fuck. I'm sorry, Slade. I love
you. Anybody?
This turned into like a Slade bashing.
I love you, Slade.
So, final words from me.
He hates me.
Please.
Nintendo NX.
Nintendo NX.
I am excited about the Nintendo NX.
Which Sweet. Is what?
Don't know yet.
Exactly.
All I need to know is the word that's in front of right there, Nintendo.
We got,
I have faith.
We got E3 coming, so.
I have faith.
I don't think it's going to be ready to be at E3.
Nintendo's not going to be at E3.
Really?
This nope. one? I think it's next one.
They're not.
No way.
I thought it was this one.
Is it? Also, the name's still confusing. Again.
But we'll see.
But.
The NX, that's all I'm going to say. All
right, Paul, do you have any last words?
Yeah, peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, peanut butter jelly time. I'm excited for next gen. I'm excited for Halo 5. That's it.
Yes.
Cortana.
You mean you're excited about current gen?
No, next gen.
Master Chief and Cortana. I know she's not done. She's coming
Cortana.
Back.
She is, actually. She was confirmed, I thought.
No, I have her on my phone. She's there.
No. I mean, the character was confirmed in making
Forever Alive on our phones.
I think that was confirmed today, actually. There was a whole thing about Cortana.
Yeah, she's alive?
I'll have to look into it. Yeah. I haven't heard anything.
Nathan, did I...
Cortana has a role to play in Halo 5, according to Polygon.
She has to be in it. It's
yeah,
you know, it's whatever.
I told
it's
myself if they didn't bring her back, I was done. I was going to throw in the towel. I mean, that would destroy the story for me.
I would have cried.
I'm glad I have another Halo fan here, Slade.
Hey, who? Time out.
Yeah, Nate, we hear a lot of scratching from you.
Who's eating the potato chips?
The Nintendo.
Is that coming from me?
I think it's
who's
coming,
scratching
I think
the
it's
record like a
Nate.
DJ?
It's not me.
Oh, is it? Is it? Yeah, is it on your like your face or something?
No.
Yeah, it's definitely coming from you.
Is it still going now? Nope,
yeah,
not me.
What about now?
Oh,
I know what it is. It's E.T. Basically, he wanted to join the podcast because Slade was talking about how that game was awesome.
No, it's the NSA. They're after us for talking poorly. About, like,
can you, like, unplug and replug your mic?
About the
yeah.
Kinect. The Xbox One skyrocketed after they got rid of the Kinect. But, I mean, they still lose, like, the coolest features about it. Like, Xbox, do this.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that. I know we're signing off, but this is just off topic. Wasn't like the whole thing when they were talking about the Xbox One that you could do the, you know, like, you know, move the tiles with your hand with the Kinect and all that?
That
you know, kind of like the whole, what is it, Minority Report and stuff like that?
I thought that was a Hologen thing.
No. That might be why they delayed it. Huh?
Or the HoloLens, yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think that was advertised, actually, with the Xbox, the ability to do that. It was just an in-game thing, I thought.
No, it was not.
All right, so, Allison, you're the last person to give
a... All right, I really want to hear from other people, what console should I get? Please help me decide, a PS4 or an Xbox One? Somebody make this decision for me, because I'm going
okay.
to...
Okay,
all right, let's all take a vote.
I will help you out. Get an Xbox One, but don't get an Xbox One. I need you to buy a PlayStation 4.
What?
Okay, Nathan?
So, like, here's the deal. I bought an Xbox One. I am now regretting it.
Ooh.
I love the games on the Xbox One, don't get me wrong, but there's other games coming up for the PS4 that I wish I had. So, that's where I'm at.
Okay, so that's one PS4. Next.
Okay. Get a PS4, again, when you, like I said, I feel more at home. When I don't want to reiterate, but... When I turn on the PlayStation 4, I feel more at home that it's inviting me to do something with it other than just turning it on and going straight to a game.
That means you haven't played the Xbox.
No, dude. It's the same jack bleep.
Look, all right, my
so
Xbox says...
All right, so ultimately he's saying PS4.
Okay.
My Xbox says, welcome, Daniel. It's very inviting.
Nathan,
it's two for PlayStation.
Nate's having some technical difficulties, but he did say Xbox One. So you get 2-1, and that leaves me as your deciding factor of whether we should leave it as a tie or you should get a PS4.
Or we can ask our fans what I should get, because I don't know. I'd love to hear whatever people have to say, what they like and don't like about each console.
Yeah.
And then you have to go out and buy it once they choose, and then we have to do an unboxing video.
There you go. Because, I mean, if it were up to me, I'd say you should get a PC. So... There we go.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's okay. Types of computers, that's another conversation for another day. I have a Mac and I really like it. And I'm looking for okay, no. I'll tell you why. I'm an editor. I do a lot of audio and stuff, but that's another time. But I'm looking forward to getting Steam just so I can play Firefly Online, which I have been dying to play since they announced it, and it's coming. It's gonna be but yeah, so let's keep it open for our fans or other people out there who are super, super passionate about their consoles and help me out.
All right. Well, that wraps up this episode of the Knights of the Game Table podcast. I'd like to thank everybody who joined me on this episode, Daniel, Paul, Nate, and Allison. Please stay tuned to thetempogeek.com for your next all-new episode. And as always, thank you for listening.
Please follow us on Twitter at Temple of Geek. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/templeofgeek. And remember to visit thetempleofgeek.com, your one stop for all things geek. Congratulations! This story is a happy ending. Thank you.